I still got peanut down my nose hole, back hole up the throat near nose.
Welcome to Why Is Harriet Crying? What have you got stuck up your nose?
Peanut.
Not his nose, his nose hole.
I don't know how to sinus bit. Here's my idea for a prank. We were just talking about pranks off when we weren't recording. Alistair was just telling us how much he hates pranks. But the idea I had for a prank was that you find a random person, sort of a long-term prank, probably about a year. And what you do is, like, just on one day when they're walking down, like, an empty street, just get someone to punch them in the face. And then it would be like, oh,
it's not quite a prank yet.
It's assault so far.
Yep.
Not yet.
It's a crime.
Arguably. Yeah, but it's like that film, The Game.
Mm.
Where it's just a big game. And then, like, you do it.
Well, to begin with, you think it's a film, and then at the end, it turns out David Fincher was sort of taking the piss a bit.
Oh, what was the end of that film?
No, I can't remember. I think he falls through a glass ceiling, and then he's
that's
happy.
It. I remember that. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
That's the end of the film.
Yeah.
Please continue.
That's all right. Then you just punch him again and again until he goes mad.
That's the prank.
Yeah, but over the course of a year, and then he'll never be able to leave the house or something. It'd be funny.
Because they're afraid of being punched.
Yeah.
How is that a prank?
I guess it's a metaphor for life. Welcome to Why Is Harriet Crying? Harriet, do you want us to play a prank on you like that?
That is my... I would have thought that was me. Twice, that is when the fear would set in that it was a pattern. I'd be done. You'd only need to do it for 2 days.
Punch me twice, shame on me.
Yeah.
For leaving the house.
Yes.
Doesn't leave the house.
For the arrogance of leaving the house.
I was going to welcome Alistair to the podcast.
Because I have been being quiet before this point.
No, it was very hard to know when to talk on a Zoom call. I do realise that.
Meant to do a good introduction at the beginning. We've never done that so far.
Happy to start again.
This could be one. Let's do it. Introduce me. I can't wait.
Let's go.
Oh, there's so much pressure now. Welcome to Why Is Harriet Crying with Sunil Patel and our wonderful guest, Alistair Beckett King.
Hello.
I purposefully gave Sunil a small introduction with no descriptive words.
Yeah.
And then you good descriptive.
Well, I appreciate that. That's good comparing that because you've raised expectations for me, and the audience is going to need that. If anything, you've lowered them for Sunil. So when he exceeds those expectations, the rewards...
He won't.
Well, the listeners know who I am, but they might not know that Alistair is responsible for the artwork for the podcast.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. I didn't mean to imply with that tone of voice that I'd forgotten.
Oh, my God.
I
mean...
Yes, I am.
The amount of tweaks we made you do was obscene. I apologise for that.
Was it two tweets?
I apologise for that, but that was poor communication from Sunil.
I don't understand aspect ratios and what people want is.
tweaks. I thought you said tweets. Never mind. No, apologies. No, no. Apologies to the listener.
You mustn't tweet. You mustn't tweet. Have you seen my Twitter recently? I've changed my name to Edinburgh City Letts, and I don't think I'll change it back.
You've probably fallen into the trap of words I have muted on Twitter at the moment. So I don't think I have seen that.
I don't really say much anyway. Don't worry. But thanks for coming on. We were supposed to get you on ages ago, but in the end...
You didn't tell me, so...
I think we forgot.
It happened.
Yeah, we forgot. It's because we talked to you so much about the podcast that, didn't think you'd want to... Because it's quite hard asking people to do it. I hate having to ask people to do it, and I always think that you've already done the artwork. The last thing you want is to actually do the podcast itself.
Yeah, what a slog. No, obviously, the only thing worse than being a guest on a podcast is recording a podcast of your own. It's an exhausting, thankless task.
Of course, I've done your podcast twice now.
Yes, so you know well.
I do enjoy your podcast. It's really fun. I get to. It's they've got an actual theme, Harriet.
What is your podcast?
My podcast is called Lawmen, and one of the great things about it is Sunil doesn't listen back, so we can really do anything we want in the edit. to basically reshape his contribution into something that's yeah, a lot more complimentary about the premise.
It's like a deepfake podcast.
It is, yeah, yeah.
It's AI-generated nonsense from me.
Pretty much. What we did, we made sure, without you realising it, that we recorded every vowel and consonant sound you make. And we basically had to do the whole thing out of whole cloth. My podcast is a podcast I do with James Shakeshaft. It's called Lawmen, and it's about folklore and local legends and weird historical oddities.
That's amazing.
Hence, Sunil.
Yay!
A weird oddity,
boy of Bath.
If ever I saw one.
Yes, true.
Yeah, it's always it's all things like an old lady with three knees from Chichester. And
what?
Yep, I made that one up, but. Actually, a listener created this is tech, Sunil, so you'll like this.
Love
they
it.
Created a generator of lore based on the podcast. So you can just randomly refresh the page and it'll come up with a made up bit of folklore that isn't true about a certain place. And it'll be stuff like I just said. Isn't that, I was going to say cool. Just... Isn't that the nerdy version of cool?
Alistair, nerds have been cool for a long time now.
Have they?
And I think it's mainly because of their genuine enthusiasm rather than their ironic self-detachment. People, that's cool now, apparently. I don't like
it. Is sincerity cool?
Apparently so. It's definitely a thing over the last sort of 10 years. It used to be cool just to lean on a wall smoking a fag like I do. Mm-hmm. But now it's cool to be like, now it's cool to be one of you two nerds, basically. You're in the ascendancy, unfortunately.
Are you also a nerd, Harriet?
Well, I guess I'm not in that I'm knowledgeable about anything, but I am enthusiastic.
You're a dweeb.
Don't say I'm a dweeb. That's so mean.
Harriet's a dweeb, that's for sure. Harriet's a dweeb unless she's doing a bottomless brunch, in which case she turns into
legend.
Nightmare.
Is there any of the folklore that is true?
Yeah. Yes. Well, what do you mean by true? Like,
well, is there anyone with three knees?
Three knees is a bad example because I made.
Sorry. Alistair, could you say, is there anyone in history with three knees? That's what we've got you here to answer.
Sorry. I had no idea.
I feel like a politician who's being harangued on like question time or something like that, just trying to evade it and not be pinned down on whether Johnny Three Knees exists. If you let me finish, Harriet.
Sorry.
I to finish what I was trying to say.
Sunil's got his hand up.
Sunil, please, go ahead.
What is a knee, though?
I'm glad you asked that.
Thank you. You got to start from basics. First principles, please.
I'm sorry for overestimating the audience on that one. How to describe a knee? It's like when a leg changes its mind.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. It's funny and because it's true.
It's the hinge. The bottom hinge.
It's true. Yes, it's the leg. It's a leg hinge. It's a limb hinge. Non-elbow. A non-elbow limb hinge. This is why
What's the difference between elbow and knee?
That is a good question.
The difference between elbow and knee, I think it's the cap. A knee has a cap and an elbow.
No, it's that one's on an arm and one's on a leg.
Arguably.
Both right answers. honestly, I can't pick between the two. This is wonderful. I'm glad to be here. I hope you're all glad to be listening to this conversation with Alistair Beckett King at
Is this what it's normally like? Or because tell me if your voice suggests it's not
okay,
normally
so it's
vague
not normally,
descriptions of limbs.
Normally,
this
it's
is the best
just,
it's ever been.
This is the smoothest ride we've
No, but seriously, back to the knees. Is there somebody that's had more than one knee?
I'm sorry, Harriet. No, I don't think there's someone with more than one knees. But there was a ghost duck.
There was
a man who swallowed loads of stones.
And that's true.
And they tried to get the stones out of him by tying him to a ladder and turning him upside down and shaking it. He died a short while afterwards.
What year was this?
I think that was in the early 19th century, that one. Maybe later.
Early
90s.
It was in
1996. Britpop era.
It was Liam Gallagher.
Yeah, his Oasis hat fell to the floor as he was turned upside down and shaking the man full of stones did not help release.
I'm sorry, just one more question about the knees. Mm-hmm. Were the knees all on one leg or was one of the knees somewhere that wasn't a leg?
We don't know if we don't know if the three knee person existed.
But had they existed, I visualise it as being left leg normal, right leg extra bend in it. So it turns back in on itself thanks to the second knee.
That's very interesting.
Mm, almost a circle.
I really hope Elliot, our producer, is Googling this now.
I'd love to find out that I can create reality like Penny Crown by just saying something on a podcast and it turns out it's on Google.
See, I think no knees on one leg, three knees on the other leg.
Like a tentacle.
Like a tentacle. Or
like a pole and a tentacle.
No knees on one leg, two knees on the other one, one knee in the head. Why does it have to be on the leg?
Yes,
if we're going with more knees.
It's a joint, isn't it? You mm-hmm. can't have a joint in your head.
On your neck, you could. You could have a
neck.
Neck
is a joint.
A neck knee.
Is a very good
but nature
joint.
Makes mistakes. There must have been somebody where the knee got confused.
You do get those goats that are born with legs coming out of their head instead of horns, don't you?
Is that their twin, though, and they've eaten it?
And one just left the legs?
Yeah, isn't it like it fuses in the body because they eat it?
Just leftovers, is it?
I'd like to read.
No, then it would come out the mouth.
I'd like to read you guys a science fact before we actually start with the podcast. Very interesting description of an animal in The Guardian the other day. The life cycle of the humble sea squirt, which in its adult form is a marine invertebrate found clinging to rocks or boat hulls. It has no brain because it has eaten it during its larval stage. During its larval stage, it had a backbone, a single eye, and a basic brain to enable it to swim about hunting like a small water-dwelling vertebrate cyclops. The larval sea squirt knew when it was hungry and how to move about, and it could tell up from down. But when it fused onto a rock to start its new vegetative existence, it consumed its redundant eye, brain, and spinal cord.
Wow.
And I sent that to a couple of friends who've put on a bit of weight during lockdown.
I was going to say, it sounds like one of your chortle reviews, Sunil. I'm sure Sunil Patel has a brain, but he's eaten it. I'm sure I've heard that.
What other use could it be?
A bleak animal.
A strange animal.
Sometimes you need a little bit of energy before going on stage, don't you?
We do a lot of...
It's probably high in protein, the brain.
Absolutely.
Alistair, I think you...
Bags here.
Pardon?
This is a podcast full of animal facts, by the way.
It is, actually.
But it is.
We're big on animal facts. I think you might be the nicest person we've had on the podcast, which is an insult to all previous guests, but also, I think, true. I don't think there's anyone nicer than you.
That's difficult, because if I agree with that, that doesn't sound very nice, does it? But
no, that
but if I deny it, it's not plausible, is it?
No, it's not up for you to decide.
Hmm. Okay.
I've tried to.
You're being quiet, Snell.
I've tried to.
Do you not find me to be nice?
Yeah.
No, I do. I do. What I was saying is that I've often tried to make Alistair not nice, but it doesn't work. Like, he does stick to the line. He doesn't
ever
cave in. I mean, we've had conversations, you know, about morals and that, I remember. I don't know, whatever it was about.
Morals
you've,
that,
always,
yeah.
You've always been very like, you know what you think, you don't, you know, and you can back it up, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
Can I catch you out? Catch you out. One day I'll out you as a secret Tory and then I'll have won.
That would be great. Yeah. It would be. I'm a big fan of the sort of the magicians, the 19th century magicians of the Golden Age who would like live their whole lives in secret in order to conceal things, like the spoiler in The Prestige, or the guy who spent his whole career pretending to be an elderly Chinese man when he was not those things.
Nice.
So that when he did Feet of Strength, people would go, "That's pretty good for an elderly Chinese man."
Mm.
And they're sort of like pranks. They're sort of like grand life scale pranks.
And as we
that's
all
what
know,
you like.
And that's what I'm doing. So I'm just gonna just.
He pretends to not like pranks, but his entire life is a character.
Yes.
He is, in fact, an old Chinese man.
Yes.
Do you think you're
a classic liberal Chinese man? And I'm playing the long game.
Alistair, do you think Harriet is stronger or weaker than an old Chinese man?
Okay.
This is the second part of the podcast.
We ask this every week.
Let's be clear. Are we talking about physical strength or are we talking about strength of will?
Physical and mental.
Okay.
Two separate categories. Total of 10 points for each one.
Strength of will, it's going to the Chinese man. I think Harriet would crumble. I don't want to imply that elderly Chinese men have any kind of mystical powers or anything like that. Obviously, that would be crass.
I'm talking old enough to have lived through the Cultural Revolution.
Oh, well, that's... Yes, so they've seen some stuff. They've faced hardship, this guy.
I've seen stuff. A fox pissed on our step yesterday, and it really smells bad.
Yeah, well, I mean, if that had been like a murdered landlord, and maybe that would be similar. No, it's the for sort of mental acuity and psychic strength. It's the elderly Chinese man, but in physical strength, no competition. Harriet could take him, I think.
Wow!
Because years of malnourishment under Mao,
he would have got his ration of rice. Mao had some things, right?
I had rice for dinner as well.
Actually, how many died?
Well, there you go. Harriet had rice for dinner. So
you have the same diet as an elderly Chinese. Yeah. She had a stir fry of rice and vegetables earlier.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, in an ideal world, of course, you wouldn't have to fight, and you two could work together.
Yeah, it's Sunil's world that's pitting us against each other.
Exactly,
we could be friends.
To overthrow the capitalist overlord of Sunil.
it's fighting capitalists now.
No, you are capitalist.
Oh, right.
Yeah, why are you making me fight this old Chinese man?
Why? What Alice kind of a podcast is this?
So basically, in this podcast, we talk about what Alistair... Like every episode, we talk about what Alistair Beckett King has been crying about.
I'm finally here to clarify.
We do have to, at some point, get back to basics on the podcast. We got told off a few weeks ago for not talking about why Harriet has been crying recently. So first, we'll start with that, and then we'll talk about what makes you emotional, what makes you cry. Yeah. So Harriet, would you like to?
Well, it's the dizziness is the problem. I've got vertigo. Don't shut your eyes. I've got vertigo, Alistair.
Did either of us shut our eyes?
I did.
No, Sunil shut his eyes as if I've heard this.
I rolled my eyes, but I've got weird eyes. So
you had your eyes shut. You rolled them with your eyes shut. Yeah, like that.
Well, a little bonus there for video subscribers.
Video subscribers, I would have made my flat look less crazy. Hold on, let me adjust my camera.
You live in a doll's house. What's happening there?
Is that like a guinea pig behind
that
you?
That is a really
Victorian
unattractive
toy maker.
It's a pig money box, a very unattractive pig money box.
Old school.
And those are some supplement pills for if you're a vegan, containing all the essential things that I don't get in my food, like tastes and vitamins.
Harriet's dizzy.
Well, I'm taking a lot of supplements at the moment. Yeah, basically, I just got vertigo, and then I did a Zoom call with my family, and everyone was moving around in different places, and then I got so dizzy I had to lie on the floor, and then I couldn't go meet Sunini for coffee.
Harriet's been dizzy now.
Thank you, Alistair C. Thank you. That's the...
Which bit's awful, when she couldn't meet Sunini for coffee?
Yeah, that was the bit I was feeling bad about.
So true.
Thank you.
Although really, with social distancing, you probably shouldn't have been doing that anyway. So
a distance coffee. Distance walking coffee.
Yes,
we both buy coffees. Oh, are you allowed to walk with a coffee at the moment?
Not until the 29th.
It's going to be cold by then.
Yeah. Well, it stopped me from committing a crime then.
Yep. Yeah, thank you, vertigo.
So that was good.
Or even vertigo, as I just said.
The unfortunate thing about Harriet is that whenever she gets ill, she does really drag it out until symptoms are completely gone.
This is the problem. But that's why I was so upset, because I was like, I was just so fed up with myself. I was like, did you see that on Instagram? There's, is it Humans of New York, that Instagram account? Yeah. And there was this wonderful story about this. I mean, it's not wonderful, it's really sad, but about this girl that had cancer and then she died. And her mum was just like, she never mentioned it. She was so brave till the end. She was just wonderful. And then I was like, I get a bit dizzy when I stand up and I've gone on about it for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's natural to talk about things like that. I mean, if it was really a bad thing, you know, you'd get on with your life and make the most of it. But because it's just a minor annoyance that will eventually go away.
People would describe me as an angel too.
You can't live like there's no tomorrow if you can't stand upright, can you? Like, you can't take anything off a bucket list if you can't be vertical.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like the time I had an infected leg for 6 months. And it was tough. But no one really had any sympathy.
You talked about that a lot, and you showed girls in the bathroom.
And they, I'll tell you what, they did like it, actually. One of them wasn't impressed.
He had a queue on New Year's Eve to see his leg.
Really?
Chloe wow. Pett saw it and said she's seen worse. She said, I work with the homeless. I've seen one with maggots in it.
Yeah. That's not ideal.
No. Mine didn't have maggots in it.
What?
Mine didn't have maggots in it.
No, that's... Well, we assumed it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't.
You want to get yourself the old vitamin supplements.
Do you know what I will do, actually?
Avoid the maggot situation downstairs.
Alistair, what would you do if you had maggots in your leg as a vegan?
It's the third part of the podcast.
It's a real problem, an ethical conundrum.
We've got you. Finally, we've got him. What do you do with the maggots living in your
knee? Do you let those maggots live in your knee?
I think maggots only eat flesh that's already dead and rotten. So they're not actively attacking me, but it isn't a good sign.
It's not ideal to go about your day with a maggot eating your knee, I have to say.
No.
One of your three knees.
You got two to spare.
So down to two, isn't ideal either. I think that when it's something that it, you know, like if a pig attacked me, I feel like I'd be prepared to take the pig out.
If a pig went
for me, because they can be vicious. And they,
there's
no
way you could fight a pig off. They're really aggressive big
I didn't
lads.
Say I could.
Pig.
I'm saying I would try.
You'd try.
Like if I was holding a scythe or something, I'd go for it with the scythe.
Is this one of your fantasies?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I am a chosen weapon that is designed for attacking grass, basically.
What if there was a misunderstanding and the pig thought you started it, but actually the pig started it? What would you
do
then?
It's starting to sound a bit like a prank, one of Sunil's pranks, where he spends a year tricking a pig into thinking we've got beef.
When this is a recon mission for the big prank we're going to play on you in 2022.
I guess that would be a case of moral bad luck, wouldn't it? Because I can't know in advance that the pig has actually been tricked by a third party.
Yeah, that would be unfair. That's a good point.
If you went back in time, who would you kill?
Who wouldn't I kill?
Hey.
Well, I
who's the baddest person in history?
My understanding of time travel is that that I wouldn't be able to change anything in history because it's already happened. So I would only be able to kill people who had already been murdered, but mysteriously. So I'd have to go, you know, because if I went back in time and tried to kill Hitler before his time, something would intervene because we know that Hitler wasn't killed before that point. So I didn't travel back in time and do it, because if I travel back in time in the future, I've already been there in the past of now. So
you're
whatever
me
I
with
tried
these words.
To
tricking me with your words. Who would you kill?
All right, sorry. So
you'd only do it for the you'd only do it for the satisfaction of murder.
Well, we wouldn't be able to do it to avert any tragedies in history, so I'd probably just go for something frivolous, light-hearted.
You'd have to kill somebody that was literally on their deathbed, which seems unkind.
I'd like to create a sort of personal tragedy in my own history, because that would be something that made me a little bit more interesting, you know?
So you'd kill someone close to you?
Are you the guy who, like a wizard, appeared out of the chimney and killed his great-grandfather? Yes, I am. He was on his deathbed and then a wizard leapt out. Dabbed him to death, straight back up the chimney.
That's a very good... and nice answer. Yeah, who would you kill, Snell?
Yeah. What?
Who would you kill then?
Would it change history?
You can change history.
Yeah, if you want to change history. You
change
can.
History. I would kill some urban planners who have... I don't like pavements that aren't level.
And you think you can murder your way out of that situation?
I don't know where that came from. I was panicking. I was thinking about how would my life be better. And I think pavements aren't level enough.
It's like a sort of Son of Sam take on observational comedy, what you did there.
Serial killer does stand up.
Not so much as an amusing observation, so much as a mortal threat, but based on a minor annoyance.
But I think those minor annoyances are they're worse for humanity than killing 100,000 people.
Really? That's what you think?
Should we ask that elderly Chinese man who lived through the
yes, Cultural Harriet, Revolution? Please tell us.
The uneven pavements worse.
Okay, maybe not uneven pavements, but I think I think it's mainly because recently I've been reading a lot about the built environment and how it affects our moods and our lives without really realizing it. How bleak some places can be, how it affects people's life chances. That, you know, it's all it's all serious now, isn't it? You both stop laughing at me.
Sorry, I was just trying to clear my throat. I wasn't.
Okay.
It's boring. Change the subject.
No. All right. I'll tell you what. I kill people who build flats which are tiny.
Yep. I'm in one right now.
Are you?
Mm.
Did you kill the
wall? I haven't seen anything further than that away from me since April last year. That's the furthest distance I've seen.
Gosh, yeah.
Could have looked out the window. Didn't.
Your eyes will readjust. You'll come out and you won't be able to.
No, yes. I'll be all blurry and.
Harriet, your turn.
Who would I kill? I don't think I could kill it. I don't know if I could do it.
Oh, come on. You can't just. That's such a. You can't. You will. You have threatened.
Maybe Henry VIII.
Why?
Get there first. Save all his wives. I'll behead him. How about that?
What? Okay.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Hashtag feminism, etc.
Yeah. That's right, a big scalp, though. You've taken a big scalp there.
Mm.
Yeah, but then, actually, didn't he invent divorce? So then divorce wouldn't exist.
We'd still be Catholic, Britain would still be a Catholic country. But without all the sort of fun of Italy.
Yeah.
We'd be like a worse Catholic Ireland. We're like Ireland without the crack and Italy without the, well, whatever it is they've got. Just general sense of well-being.
Pizza.
Sprezzatura. Sprezzatura.
That's the Italian word for what I'm talking about?
I think it's sort of a nonchalant sort of. It's a nice scarf. It's wearing a nice scarf. Yeah.
Without the boys watching the girls go by. That thing.
On a Vespa having a tab and an espresso. Exactly. It's that.
We haven't got that.
What would be the point without that?
I'll tell you what. I'm currently in a very Catholic country. And everyone's very nice, but every now and then they drop some incredibly conservative opinions that are like, oh, I didn't think people thought like that anymore. Mm. And that's the Catholicism. It's still a backbone of society, but it's like you just don't see it until it comes to like really strong opinions on gay marriage.
Someone brought that up already. You've only been there a few days.
Our driver brought it up. Yeah. He didn't bring it up. He was like, just talking about it. It just came up in conversation.
Did you ask him to marry you?
Yes. And he said, only a civil partnership, thank you. Adam and Steve, etc.
I think that's the Catholic Church's official line. There was just were musing for quite a while, weren't they? And then eventually they came back to the Adam and Steve doctrine.
On the old playground.
Of the diet of some Catholic
country. It just shows you how it's easier to change people's minds if you make it very simple for them. Easier, you know. But anyway, have you cried recently?
No, I'm going to ask because you're bad at this. Are you like, do you get emotional about silly things?
Me?
Yeah, or for like embarrassing reasons, because that's why we started the podcast, because I would cry about stupid things.
I don't cry as much as I used to, and I can't tell.
Sorry, I was about to give you a round of applause, and then you said,
I do cry. But, but I used to, and I don't know if I've just become just hyper masculine or anything.
Snill, please.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you to my bros.
Some people say
support.
It's toxic. I say we're fucking bros, bro.
But I cry at films mainly, and a few books. Basically, I cry whenever a robot shows some sign of humanity in a film. That's probably my like. if a robot, if everyone's saying, you can't understand that, you're a machine, and the robot does understand it and saves an orphan.
I get it.
That really moves me, because I always identify with the robots. I am a rigid, highly moral, inexpressive, eyebrowless creature. And so are the robots. But inside, everyone's human. That's the moral of that, isn't it? Whenever they say, they're not human, you can't have a robot, they're not human. But they are, aren't they? The robots.
Do you see, Harriet, how similar me and ABK are?
Yeah, because you're quite a robot.
I only cry at films. I only cry at that films really, and obviously some fiction. I guess.
Do you cry at characters that remind you of you in films?
I don't know.
You're
what
more
kind
like
of
scenery, I would say. Do you ever? Is there any scenery that reminds you of you? Like, I don't know, like a really
canyon.
A high quality door.
Post office.
Or a post office.
I don't think I'm that useful, to be honest. It's
The post office gets it wrong a lot.
Yeah, true, actually. They took a week. Yeah, no, anyway, let's not talk about the post office.
Actually, a guy dropped off a delivery on our doorstep this morning, and he dropped it off and he went, beware, the third wave is coming. And then he left.
That's ridiculous.
So, I mean, firstly...
Pardon? Is that a service the post office offers now?
I don't know, but it was just like
omens.
A bit of a downer.
Yeah, omens.
You've got a sign for this augury.
Here's your package. Watch out.
And here's a harbinger of death.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, that's the next door. Do you mind holding that for them?
Smearing pig's blood on your doorstep.
Saying, sorry, you were out.
Her Majesty's Post Office.
a beheaded chicken is behind a hawthorn bush.
I'm absolutely delighted with your answer about what you
think. No, but I think Alice is just being nice to you. I really thought that you were going to be quite emotional. I actually feel disappointed.
He's a sensible man. He's northern.
I am technically a northern man. Listeners will be saying... You what? Northern listeners will be saying, eh? You what? He said he was Northern.
We have to pay for a transcription service for this, for God's sake.
For a podcast, it's difficult.
I am technically Northern. I'm from Durham, which means I'm Northern, more Northern than a lot of Northerners who make fun of me for not being Northern. Geographically, I'm from quite high up. And I'm half Scottish, which is even worse when it comes to...
Are you a borderer? Are your family borderers?
Not quite. No, not border reavers. No, we're not. We don't have that history of...
They're psychopaths, aren't they?
Violence.
Really?
Yeah.
You might be thinking of the characters from Serenity, but they weren't great, the border reavers. There were some... Oh, some people were chopped up right nice.
Yeah. I'm thinking of
Game of Thrones.
Well, I think it was based on the borderers, the border reavers.
I have heard that, yeah.
Your ancestors or the borderer, and they make up the majority of the Red Belt of America. That's where they all settled.
Oh,
and they've kept generations of the same views get passed down. It's fascinating. Mm. Yeah, but you seem to have escaped that and become.
My parents aren't from the Northeast, so my dad's from Manchester, mum's from Scotland. So I guess that's why I've always had such a broad outlook. a sort of lofty gaze fixed on the middle distance. Can't tie me down.
Apart from right now when you can only look.
It's about 3.5 metres.
When he gets out there, though, no wind can blow that man over. Stands tall and proud.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not emotional because you've thought about everything, like you have a plan for everything of how to do the right moral thing, so you don't have to be emotional.
I don't know how I got this reputation for having thought about everything in advance. Like, I don't know if the cleverest person in the world probably has decided everything already.
You haven't. This is what Harriet does. She thinks everyone in the world knows what they're doing except for. It's simply not true.
I just remember you saying that you won't go on holiday by plane.
I haven't gone on holiday by plane, and... I made a resolution not to fly for work last year, but fortunately, a pandemic happened. So any of the any and all of those gigs would have been cancelled anyway. So have you quid's flown in, really. Before, though?
Yeah.
Yes, because I flew with Alistair to a gig, but then I remember you saying you'd do that because otherwise another comedian would take it, so there was no point not doing
that
it.
That sounds like a bit of self-justification now you repeat it back to me.
I agreed with you. I thought that was very smart.
I can take a moral high ground and say I'm not going to do your gig because it involves flying, but it won't stop the gig happening. The plane will still fly. Another comedian will get paid whatever I was being paid, €40.
Yeah.
And...
Malta for Mirth Control, is it?
yes, I also had to fly the plane on the way back. looking for someone who could middle and fly.
Someone with a pilot's license, tick the box. If you have a pilot's license.
If you're an open spot with a pilot license, that opens doors. Let me.
And a mic. You've got to bring your own mic.
Bring your own amp.
But then I can justify that in my head and think, if someone doesn't go on this holiday to Barcelona, someone else will go.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I guess there's the sort of Kantian thing of you should act the way that you think everybody ought to act, which should mean that I wouldn't fly. And I did a gig in Dubai, and everyone I met there was lovely, and I didn't like it because it's not like I think Britain is the best country imaginable, but I didn't really enjoy being inside a repressive regime where homosexuality is a capital crime, playing to wealthy expats, you know, all British people. The streets are so clean and there's no homeless people because it's a crime, and it's a weird sort of ersatz reality. I sort of think, how can I go to Dubai? You know, it's a city built by slaves, but I live in London. So it's not that different.
Yeah.
But also the flight to Dubai, the CO2 impact of that was more than every flight I had ever been on previously together, just that one flight.
It was longer?
It's so far away. Yeah, and I'd never been outside of Europe. I'd only flown really for gigs or for work type things. So I thought, no, I can't do that year in, year out.
It's
I just really admire that
also,
you're
they
trying.
Also, didn't book me again. So, but I basically, I tried to do a joke about, you know, when you're vacuum cleaning and everything had been going fine. And then I did a joke about when you're hoovering and just got nothing. And then I realized these people don't clean their own places.
Wow.
Not relatable. They're like, we haven't hoovered since 1986.
That's why they're there. They love that.
Yeah. If we hoovered, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. That's not true. That suggests that spending too much time hoovering limits your achievement.
I think it's interesting when you talk about, like, yeah, Dubai is a very strange place, and I don't think I would do it even if I got asked. But I'm totally fine with other people doing it. I'm like,
now who's got the high standards, eh?
No, he'd just get hot. He'd get hot and bothered.
Luckily, the sun was in when I was there. It rained. Everyone was complaining about how cold it was. I was like, get in.
How cold was it?
Survivable. Like it was very warm, but cold by Dubai standards. So it was like a British, British
a nice summer,
hot, warm spring, maybe.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, it was very nice. You would have loved it.
But that's the thing. I can't, like, I can get over most of it, apart from the fact that, like, they've built something air conditioned in the desert, and that brings like the waste of it to mind so much more easily than just living a normal life in England, where I'm sure we're wasting just as much of the world's resources. But
it's very easy to point to another country and go, "Oh, shame on you."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but no, absolutely no. You should take stuff like that. Everyone needs to work, I think, but I don't think I want to.
No criticism of the people who do it or the people who run it or anything, but I didn't enjoy it, and I didn't want to do it a second time. Although I did watch The Exorcist on the plane on the way back, so swings and roundabouts. I've never seen it. It's great. I watched The Exorcist and Beetlejuice.
I would be so upset if I was sat next to you on a plane, because I would be so scared of The Exorcist, and I'd have nothing I could do apart from watch it.
Yeah, this is a good bit. Come on.
Wake her up.
No, don't sleep. It's really good, The Exorcist. I was shocked by how good it is. It's fantastic.
I'm a horror film
It's not that scary. It's one of those. It's whenever I watch Die Hard for the first time recently, and it's the same sort of thing. Is that this is the film that there are a million films imitating, and in this one, and this is so much better and different to the things to the ones that are imitating it. Like Die Hard is really really tight and has a hilarious script, and this is the film that all the cheesy action films with the cheesy jokes that seem out of place. This is what they were trying to do. But when you see the thing itself, you go, what an incredibly well-made Hollywood movie. What an entertaining film.
Yeah. I just don't like the legends around that film, like all the people that died because of the curses that were placed on the crew.
I didn't hear about that. Is that true?
Yeah, if you watch it, you get cursed.
Oh, no.
Especially on a plane.
What about if you altitude? Can that protect you from the curse?
Yeah.
It probably had the worst bits edited out. It was a plane.
I've got a question. How far up do curses go? Interesting, isn't it? We haven't really thought about that.
I think it's just below penthouse, which is why millionaires live in the penthouse.
I'd like to see you powerful enough to cast a space curse. Oh, what are we talking about? This is mad.
I'm really confused now.
It's always a fun conversation with you, Alistair.
Thank you.
You can always ask questions that other people would refuse to answer.
This
is why he's so nice.
I'm sorry that I'm not more emotional, Harriet. It's a problem, but I try to be better. I'm really uptight.
That's what I mean, but you're aware of all the bad stuff, that you've thought about all the bad stuff enough that you've come up with a plan of how to deal with it. But then I guess then you're just practical. Whereas if I thought about all the bad stuff, then I'd feel really bad, and so I don't think about it.
But you do. You think about bad stuff, and you've taken decisions like not eating meat or, you know, not using animal products and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You both wear fucking plastic shoes or whatever, don't you?
Yeah, but then they're worse. They're going to kill a turtle, you know?
When you kick a turtle.
When I kick the turtle with my shoe.
I don't know the way you describe me doesn't resemble the way I experience being me. I feel...
That's what makes you so nice.
With doubt and uncertainty. I don't know anybody who's more uncertain than I am about things. I just don't sound uncertain. The voice.
No, you do have an authoritative tone, that's for sure.
I don't think I have that... I don't think I have an authoritative sort of charismatic leader's.
No, but you.
I think I'm the sort of. I'm like the Egon. I'm like the wizardy inventor sidekick, the Donatello character.
You know what you're thinking, which is a very big step.
But you know, I don't think you. It doesn't even matter if you know or not. You're just going to do what you think is right. Whereas a lot of people won't do that. Sunil doesn't do that.
What are the people who don't know what they're thinking? Or what they're doing. What's that like?
I don't know. Harriet doesn't know.
Just constantly on a water slide. Just like,
honestly, that is what Harriet does. If you watch her walking around crazy space, and she's literally in her, I don't know what, the subconscious has taken over. The spatial awareness is gone. The timing's out. It's mad.
But Sunil knows a lot about the world, but he doesn't do any of these nice things. So Sunil is very aware of all of it, but he's not doing it. So you're questioning it and you're taking action. And I think that makes you nice and Sunil not nice.
Guess what this podcast is about in the end? I don't know a lot about the world, but I'm always trying to find out more to justify my own beliefs.
Yeah, that's lovely, isn't it? When you find out a new fact and you're like, yes, I already thought that.
I'll fucking get them with this, that's what I say, yeah.
I always thought there was a little sea squid that ate its own genitals or whatever.
Send it to Harriet.
I knew it!
Harriet, you ate your own brain. Yeah, that's glad I found that fact.
Of all the biases, confirmation bias is the most delicious.
What we do, the next bit of the show, what we do is, the last bit is I tell you a sad story, and it's to try and make Sunil feel something, and then also it's to try and make you feel something.
Is it about a robot?
I've actually got two, and they're not about... We've had robots before, I think, but this isn't about a robot.
Well,
okay, so I've got two stories, so either of these might make you cry, okay? Mm. Be prepared.
Mm-hmm. They won't.
Sorry.
Can I check? Are these... Is this fiction. Is this short fiction?
True.
These things
true
happen?
Stories.
Oh,
it's
no.
Fucking
okay.
It's fucking nonsense. She
it's not nonsense. Okay.
She doesn't read them before she reads them.
I have read this. And it's very sad.
You have to track back.
Listen. Dog owner shock after picking up pet from groomers looking like a raw chicken.
Did the dog or the owner look like a raw chicken?
The dog looked like, right. The dog looked like a raw chicken.
It's a bit much to arrive looking like a raw chicken and then act shocked, isn't it?
A plucked bird.
This is the pre-dog. If you're on the video, you can see. So that's the pre. What
I don't
a
want
sweet
to see a bald dog.
No, you Go need on. To see to get the real right. The owner was confident his dog was in good hands. One dog owner shared the shock of their dog's finished groom described as, looking like a raw chicken. He doesn't even look like the same pet. They had to shave off as much as they could, something they're sure they must now be regretting. And they said, I promise it's the same dog. But look what happened to the dog.
It's adorable.
Yeah, it's
he looks lovely.
He looks like a raw chicken.
But I am suspicious chicken. Of the phrase, I promise it's the same dog.
People are worried on the internet that it's the wrong dog.
That's where my shaved raw chicken eyebrow that doesn't exist. That's where I raised that ceiling wood.
You shaved your eyebrow?
No, they just barely exist. Look, for the people
okay,
on video.
I see a glint of gold.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can feel them, but you can't see them. It's like God.
Oh, right.
I'm going to do another. This is going to get you this time. I cringed every time I had to tell someone my baby's name, so I changed it. A mum chose a cool name for her newborn son, but was quickly left second-guessing her decision, and after just 3 months, she went through the process of legally changing it. Naming remorse is a real feeling. For one mum, the regret over the name she had chosen for her son became so bad she cringed when she had to introduce him. And just 3 months later, she went through the process of legally changing it. Kate thought that naming her child Cash had seemed like a cool idea at first. She said, in my sleep-deprived postnatal delirium, I felt like he could maybe pull it off. But after the name had been officially finalised, a few interactions shattered the parents' illusion of the cool moniker. The first domino to fall was when Apple rolled out its latest iPhone software update, prompting emojis to appear when relevant words were typed, meaning the mum was left staring at a picture of an old-school bag of money when she mentioned her son.
Which English literature graduate wrote this story? They're really making a meal of it.
I enjoyed the sort of 1920s Marx Brothers moniker, which is what you got here. It's impossible to say fine moniker without actually wobbling as you say it.
They're looking through a thesaurus, aren't they?
What a perplexing moniker.
She faced jokes asking if the name was spelled with a dollar sign like music star Kesha, and it wasn't long before she was gifted a t-shirt with the slogan Cash is King. Kate says the final straw came when another parent referred to Cash as a hipster name, and it reached the point she cringed when she had to introduce him. And then there's a picture of a hamster. I don't know why. Oh, it's an advert for pet insurance.
And those are based on what you've Googled. So,
it's so stupid.
Yeah.
You can't brush that hamster advert off because that's you. I don't know about that, because I think the saddest part of that story is Cash, or the artist formerly known as Cash, is going to grow up and read that Daily Mirror article. Sad though it is.
No, we don't know where it's from. We don't know where it's from.
Oh, okay. So Cash is going to grow up and read that story and realise that his mum didn't think he could pull off a cool name. It's not that she realised, I had made a mistake and that is a bad name.
Yeah.
But that is a cool name, and this baby is an absolute chump.
It's not a cool baby.
Just got a lump of solid nerd gristle in this pram. He can't pull that off. He needs a name like, I don't know. Bert.
Sunil.
You named your dog Sunil. I don't know. You can't slag off the name because you named your dog Sunil.
Have you named your dog after Sunil? After,
Sunil Patel, the dog.
Sunil Patel.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a different Sunil Patel. I was, I'm filming at him. One of the extras came up to me and said, I'm in Prague basically at the moment. And she said to me, are you the Sunil Patel who comes over here from London to sell chai latte?
What?
Can you not get chai latte in Prague?
Apparently he sells the best chai latte mix in Prague.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of them about.
Well, like about in little sachets, is that?
Yeah, you're all like a bag of spices.
I just saw a thing where men were arrested for smuggling gold under their wigs.
Where? Now?
At the airport, presumably. Where would you have arrested them, Chanel? Come on.
On the boat, when they get off the boat.
I skimmed past it, and just as we were coming in, and I thought, oh, that sounds like an amusing heist premise, an amusing sort of Ealing comedy caper. Get a whole load of bald guys. A whole load of bald guys who've done time, a little bit tasty.
Oh, right. Yeah,
get a series of high quality wigs. None of your rubbish, Sunil. None of the stuff you sell in Prague. And stick gold into
wig. The metal detectors immediately.
But maybe that's how they caught them. I don't know. You got a question?
Is gold a metal that can set off metal detectors?
I don't know. I guess so. I don't know how they work. Another question?
Out of metal detectors.
I only just found out how fridges work, so I have no idea.
They're weird, aren't they?
How metal detectors work. It's all about gas. Who knew? Who
collecting, knew? What's it collecting? Water.
It's like you know when the spray comes out of a deodorant. It's cold.
Yeah.
It's basically that mechanism. So the gas expanding, sucks in heat, so it's cold. So it takes a lot of energy to squash it down, and that produces heat out the back of your fridge. And then inside the fridge, it expands again and makes it cold.
So the fridge doesn't make your stuff cold. It makes it less warm.
Yes, because cold isn't really a thing.
I really like your dynamic together.
Being cold isn't a thing.
So I'm not saying being cold is a thing. I'm not cold truther. I'm just saying...
Oh, right.
That it's the absence of heat. Cold is the absence of heat, just like dark is the absence of light.
Heat,
so you
wouldn't
say that there was
cold.
Some dark in a place that had no light, would you?
Oh, what's the natural state of the universe, cold or hot?
You're treating Alistair like he's a prophet or something.
Do you have like end credit music that just fades up at some point?
God, I don't know what's happening.
I think Elliot will probably play that now.
It's been absolutely delightful. Thank
yeah,
you.
Thank you so much.
It's been lovely. I'm sorry I didn't cry, but
it's okay.
Don't be.
But everyone should follow you on social media because you're putting out very funny videos.
Yes, they're quite good, and you can find them by going on Twitter at Mr. ABK, MisterABK, or looking on my YouTube, which I think is A Beckett King is my name on YouTube.
Well, what's the video? Is there a bit specific video they can search for the video under YouTube?
I think if you Google every Scandinavian crime drama.
Yeah, that's it. I like that one, and the one with the little man. Well.
The little man who lives in the crisps. If you Google either of those phrases, especially the second one, there's not as many hits.
I think the title of this podcast is going to be "The Little Man That Lives in the Crisps."
I am the little man who lives in the crisps.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute
thank you. It's
pleasure.
Been lovely.
Thanks so much, Alistair. And if anyone wants to watch the video, it's on Patreon, where we're doing an episode every week. So come find us there at patreon.com/whyisharrietcrying. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.